It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk Sox and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'll assume, based on the sigh that I heard before the mics popped and we started the show, Chris, you want to be here about as much as I do. And I guess we've done it. You know, I guess the good in this, right? Keep mocking the goodness, but I guess we've done it, Chris. We've defeated Corona. It didn't take a miracle cure, a vaccine, an act of God of your choice. No, what it turns out it took to beat the coronavirus was the good old American commodity that we've always been best known for, I suppose, racism and our vast fields of anger. It's obviously not over. I kid in a time where we probably shouldn't be joking, but it's the only thing I can do because I'll lose my mind otherwise. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised that what's knocked the pandemic out of the minds of most people over the last 72 hours is the fact that this fine country of ours is burning down because people have had it. And rightfully so. What happened at the beginning of the week with the officer using his knee to murder a man, George Floyd, by putting the knee on the neck for 9 minutes, that was the last straw for a lot of people, especially with those of you that have more pigment in your skin like yourself.
Yes.
Look, I get it. And I'll tell you, like I like most people, have treated the last 3 months as, well, the hell with it. You know, I Thursday night, the wife and I really got on one, and boy, did I get blackout drunk, because it's the only way to deal, really, at least for me. And so my plan was last night to go to bed early, get up, prep for the show, but I found myself transfixed by the news, because how can't you, as the world continues to burn, and I find myself up to 1:30 watching cities throughout the country it all goes to hell. So I can't help but be transfixed by it, I think, by most people. And, you know, I hadn't seen you. You weren't in yesterday for your normal spot. I figure I'll let you drive if there are sports things you want to talk about. I'm all for it. Frankly, I'll be honest, kind of don't care right now. I think there's more important things to talk about. All I know is at this point I found myself rooting for an asteroid. I watched that all yesterday and last night and should already be in bed. Yeah, just at this point, that's all I'm rooting for. Just give me the story. Tell me that there's MIT nerds out there that say, man, there's asteroids coming and we can't stop them. Because, boy, it just gets worse by the day, hour by hour. And people want to get on me, including just my friends. They're like, oh, you got to stop it with this. You've been far too negative. Have I? No, if anything, I've been proven right. It's getting worse every single day. And now we have this. So that's all. I felt like I needed to get that off my chest. It's Well, what a hell in a handbasket we're all going to, huh?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this has been quite the year, huh, 2020? I mean, it's, you know, it just has been one thing after the other. A tremendous tragedy, what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd. Didn't need to happen, should not have happened. These things have happened in the past. We just haven't known about them. Now we live in the era where everybody has cell phone cameras. And to me, you know, when I watched that video, the most heartbreaking part is the other police officer who's standing there with his back to it, and he's so concerned with being recorded by the phones that all he has to do is turn around and see that a murder is happening right behind him.
Yeah, I have friends that are cops, and I'm never, like, you know, so it's like, you know, at this point, it's just, it's, I feel like it's tried to, like, not all cops are bad. Like, we know.
Yes,
like,
that's,
you know,
correct.
So, but there is one thing, and I can't even get this out of my friends that are cops, like, the thin blue line thing.
Yeah.
Like, on some levels, I can understand it. Like, if you don't want to rat out your fellow cop buddy who might have pinched a dime bag or a small bag of coke off a dealer that you arrested, like, I get it. You know, like, you don't rat on people. But, I don't know, those other three cops that just, like, stood there and watched that guy murder that guy, like, what are you doing? And then collectively, when they're protecting that cop's house, you know, as the unrest began in Minneapolis, like, what are you doing? Like, can you, I don't get the thin blue line under any and all circumstances. You always have to protect the others. And is it because, you know, these unfortunate stories have happened in the past where, you know, cops have gone to internal affairs and tried to do the right thing and they get killed by other cops. So did they feel almost forced into doing it?
I think it's kind of like being in a fraternity.
Yeah.
You know?
But aren't we all in whatever we're doing in life? You know, like, I'll tell you right now, like, I mostly hate radio people.
But it's different. I mean, they're putting their lives on the line together. I think it's one of those things. I've always said this. There are not that many things, I think, in life where people become completely blind to logic. But when it involves loyalty, that's one of them. Whether it's loyalty to family, to a sports team, to your fellow man in terms of your coworker, whether it's loyalty to an organization, and that will override objective logic. And I think that's what we're dealing with here. This is one of those cases where, like, they're just programmed for the loyalty. Because if you think about it, like, okay, you know, to serve and protect, who are you serving and protecting? The citizens, the taxpayers, first and foremost, right? Well, that should have been the aim, serve and protect the citizen who's being killed. But instead, it was serve and protect your fellow officer.
Yeah, yeah, I don't get it. I got no answers for anything. The older I get, the more confused that I get. This is just, boy, what a spiral. I don't know, how are you doing? Like, how's this all sitting with you? Like,
you know, I always think when stuff like this happens, I always think of the James Baldwin quote. There's two, but there's one that I'll say right now that comes to mind. And this was something, you know, he said years ago, you know, when African Americans in this country were still regarded and referred to as Negroes. And he said, to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time. And I think that's sort of what you're seeing, that rage, like, bubble over. Yeah, I think that it's normally sort of internal, and there are microaggressions and things you deal with every day and injustices you just have to swallow. But when something like this happens, I think you see that rage just boil over, and it's unfortunate that it boils over in a destructive way instead of a productive way or a constructive way. I certainly don't condone going out and destroying property. I don't think that's really going to change anything, and I think in a lot of cases it's people really destroying their own neighborhoods. But I will tell you that when something like this happens, it's not surprising, and it's incredibly frustrating that it's still happening. And I have no patience for the people who look at the destruction and the rioting and the looting and then try and use that to be able to justify why they don't really care about the injustice of George Floyd's death. The two things are not related. You can't go and look at what's happening with the protest and say, well, you know, don't complain if you're going to do this. No, that has nothing to do with the other thing.
Like,
they're mutually exclusive.
Like, a Target is more important than a life. Like, who the hell cares about a big box store or, like, any kind of prop? Like, you know, like,
yes,
you know, it doesn't equate.
But I think if you look at the history of the country and you're talking about a group of people who for, you know, a long time in this country, more than half of their time in this country were regarded as property, I think that really plays into it. And I think that mindset is sort of deep-seated there, where it's like a black life does mean less, because at a certain point in time in this country, you know, it was the same as, you know, owning a house,
right,
or having, you know, a farm animal. And I think that that's the frustration of a lot of African-American people, is you feel like, you know, that's the whole thing with the Black Lives Matter. Like, you know, people who say, well, all lives matter. Well, yeah, obviously. But the point of the organization is to say Black Lives Matter too. You know, the two is implied. And for me, it's almost like, it's always like a Rorschach test. Like, how do you look at it? Like, if you look at Black Lives Matter and you think they're saying only Black Lives Matter, then I feel like you don't want to address the problem. If you look at Black Lives Matter and say that it's really Black Lives Matter 2, the 2 is implied, then it's like, okay, you get it.
Yeah, I wonder if there's, and now I'm in this group too, if there's certain segments of the population that now look at Colin Kaepernick's silent, peaceful protest from 3 years ago now, and they're like, ah, oh, right, yeah, no, okay, now I get it. Because I fell into this, it got to a point, it's like, well, now you've been kind of co-opted by Nike. What's really the message here? This feels a little bit contrived. So it's like, ah, you know, I get it, but like this feels a little bit like, you know, it's been co-opted a little bit here.
Sure.
So it got to the point, it's like, what are you really striving for here? Is it like a fame thing? And I get your point, but it ultimately became a tune-out, you know? And, well, whoops. No. He had a point, as did anyone else trying to shine a light on this for years and years and years and years. And hell, I'll even tell you right now, like, I'm living proof of it in terms of, like, you know, what you can get away with as white. I'll tell you, you know, where you grew up, Chris, I once lived in Lynn.
Yeah.
And one of the more shady parts of the area, you know, like Western Ave. Not proud of this, but like there was a segment in my 20s where
my grandparents used to live off of Western Ave.
There was a segment in my 20s I would drunk drive with impunity. I really would. It's not anything to be proud of, but it was just the way it was. Nothing to be proud of. And I got pulled over and should have been arrested and got a DUI this one particular night. But this officer who pulled me over in a gas station was about to give me the DUI check, but out of the corner of his eye, what did he see? Oh, some ruffian browns that were that looked like they might have been troublemakers at this gas station, and he went to go bother them instead of arresting me, which I immediately should have been arrested. And I drove home. Yeah, and so like, oh man, like, oh yeah, no, awful. But like, I get it. You know, like I'm living proof of it. Like I get it. I look a certain way, so I'm going to be able to get away with certain things. Like that's true. It's okay to admit it. Like it's not right. Like. So, you know, I get the frustration, I get the anger, and I couldn't open up the show today and just like, oh, so, Chris, what do you think about the return of sports and NHL's going to be coming back? I just like, you know, you want to get to it. We got 3 hours to do this. There are things to talk about. You weren't in yesterday. I'm sure there are things. But, I mean, I can't. I have too much respect for you the audience to come in here, and I can't do that. I'm not going to. Like, there's been certain times in my career in doing this that I feel like it would be disingenuous and stupid, really, to come in here and pop the mic and be like, well, let's ignore what's going on at the world at large. Like when I work
the fellas.
Yeah, you know, like that kind of thing. Like I remember, and it goes to show you like sometimes how close-minded people are that run this industry. I had to be on the night of the Sandy Hook shootings. And it's like, what do you think people want to talk about tonight? And I get that some people want to stick their heads in the sand and be like, sure. I'm here to not hear about this kind of thing. Well, I don't know. Find another hack show. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about and what I feel like should be discussed, because this is top of mind as the country is spiraling out of control. Yeah, it's terrifying. I think, you know, look, there's no shame in admitting that. You know, you have to be it doesn't make me less of a grown-ass man to sit here and say, like, I don't know. I don't know what the answers are. I wish I did. I get the anger. I do. You know, I don't know if, did you hear what, because we're up against it, we'll get back. But did you, I don't know if you stayed up and watched some of the stuff, but you know Killer Mike, the rapper?
Yes.
Mike Render?
Yeah.
Did you watch his speech last night?
I didn't. So I actually worked last night at Channel 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to play the whole
thing. Sports for me last night.
I'm not going to play the whole thing, but it always amazes me that, like, you know, the politicians, time and again, no matter where you are, like, they're just such hammerheads, and they're so robotic, and they always say the same talking points. And then you get someone up there, like an eloquent MC, like Killer Mike, who was part of this press conference in Atlanta last night with, I think it's Keisha Lance Bottoms is the mayor there, and T.I., the rapper, was there. Like, it was on this dais was, like, just this amazing hodgepodge of Atlantans who were, you know, just trying to get the situation under control, and he and T.I. were the best the best spoken, like, of any politician or anyone else that I've heard really since everything started, including the pandemic. What Killer Mike last night said, like, I came away, I think, like most people, was it being like, well, this is the guy who should be in charge of everything. Like, he just gets it, it's not like he too doesn't have a handle on it, but at least he's just real and just trying to get people to, you know, keep perspective. And yeah, things need to change, but we also need to calm down, man, and just chill. So I do want to play a portion of that. And I know there's things that we should discuss because, you know, it is a sports station and I don't want to make everyone angry. Boy, it really is. It's what we're best known for, isn't it? Our vast fields of anger. There is really no bigger and well-known American export than anger. That it really is.
I say entitlement's up there, too.
Yeah, that's up there, too. It really is. But, boy.
I don't have to wear a mask.
It does feel like in the last 3 hours, 3 days, rather. Like, you turn on it, it's like, oh, Corona's gone. We beat it. How'd we beat it? Racism and anger. What America's truly best known
what
for.
What Americans found was founded on. Right. Racism and anger.
Yeah. We beat the pandemic. The worst pandemic since 1918. We found a vaccine? No, we beat it with racism and anger. That's how we did it. It's not gone either. What a hell time to be alive. Come on, come on, asteroids. Knock us out like the dinosaurs. That's all I'm rooting for, really, when it comes down to it. Hey, we're here. It's Gasper Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
James in America will take back the wheel. No one needs anyone, they don't even just pretend.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans.
That song's 23 years old, and proof yet again, David Bowie, who's one of my favorite artists of all time, was always, always, always so ahead of his time. 23 years old, I'm afraid of Americans. Now more relevant than ever. And I tweeted the other night, Chris, that, that song, it's going to be relevant from now until infinity, apparently. Gasper Murray, 98.5, a sports hub. Sure, I know, talk sports. We'll get to it. Yay, holes. But I have things top of mind, I think, like most Americans do, as it's a crazy, increasingly crazy time. And the civil unrest, which I understand, like, to me, justified. I get it. I think these riots and what you're seeing throughout the country, a sign that people are fed up. Nothing changed the last time or pretty much any other time. Peaceful protests have gotten a segment of the population nowhere. So I understand. Like, I get it. Well, it does feel like it's... Like, so in Atlanta, where I lived, and I want to play, I mentioned some of this clip from Killer Mike, the rapper, Mike Render, last night in Atlanta. Like, on the one end, I completely understand it, but, like, when they go to, you know, do you know Phipps Plaza?
Yeah, of course
you do, fancy boy. So when, like, people start going into Phipps Plaza to, like, break into a Gucci store, like, okay, now...
Yeah, that's, now what are we doing? Right. And there will be people who will try and capitalize on this, which is sad.
And so, and especially now with the pandemic, as I was, no joking, it was this terrible joke, Jim, but now joking that it's gone. It's not, obviously. So it's the gotta get mine-ism. Like, I don't like that on any aspect of life. It's why I didn't like what Blake Snell said a couple of weeks ago, the pitcher of the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, now is a time of, I gotta get mine-ism. So when I see people breaking into Phipps Plaza, which is the fancy, fancy, fancy boy mall, like Prudential Center here in Boston, to try to break into a Gucci store and that kind of thing, like, well, are you mad and trying to prove something, or are you just trying to get yours? Like, it's I have no tolerance for gotta get mine-ism, really, in any aspect of life, in a situation like we are all collectively in now. All right, Killer Mike, this is like 3 minutes of this. I think it's worth hearing. You should, I would recommend, I don't want to tell people what to do, but I would strongly recommend, if you feel, even if you just feel confused about what's going on, like, search this out. It's really worth listening to. And Atlanta, which I lived in for a very short time, but that place will always be near and dear to my heart. They were good to me. I liked living there. It was very eye-opening for me. You know, it's, as a dude I used to work with, Chris, referred to it as, it's a chocolate city. You know, I'm the minority in Atlanta. It was eye-opening living down there. It really was. Yeah. And I love that place. I do. And it was great to go back there about a year and a half ago for the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you, the dudes that are and the people that are born and raised there, they have a lot of love for that city. And Mike Render, a.k.a. Killer Mike, is one of those guys. And so here he was on the dais last night, along with the rapper T.I., Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms of Atlanta. And And so I think he is, and no matter whether it's Atlanta, Minnesota, if things pop off here, it seemed like what the protests were that took off last night, and there's going to be more throughout the weekend in Boston, like whether it reaches a level of extreme violence or even if it's peaceful, like what this dude said, I think is, it's the best thing I've heard from really anyone, especially politicians who are just robotic and keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, especially with the whole, we're all in this together. Really, are we? Anyway, Killer Mike.
I'm the son of an Atlanta City police officer. My cousin is an Atlanta City police officer. And my other cousin, East Point police officer. And I got a lot of love and respect for police officers, down to the original 8 police officers in Atlanta that even after becoming police had to dress in a YMCA because white officers didn't want to get dressed. And here we are 80 years later. I watched a white officer assassinate a black man. And I know that tore your heart out. And I know it's crippling. And I have nothing positive to say in this moment, because I don't want to be here. But I'm responsible to be here, because it wasn't just Dr. King and people dressed nicely who marched and protested to progress this city and so many other cities. It was people like my grandmother, people like my aunts and uncles who were members of SCLC and NAACP, and in particular, Reverend James Orange, Mrs. Alice Johnson, and Reverend Love, who we just lost last year. So I'm duty bound to be here to simply say that it is your duty not to burn your own house down for anger with an enemy. It is your duty to fortify your own house so that you may be a house of refuge in times of organization. And now is the time to plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. It is time to beat up prosecutors you don't like at the voting booth. It is time to hold mayoral offices accountable, chiefs and deputy chiefs. Atlanta is not perfect, but we're a lot better than we ever were, and we're a lot better than cities are. I'm mad as hell. I woke up wanting to see the world burn down yesterday because I'm tired of seeing black men die. He casually put his knee on a human being's neck for 9 minutes as he died like a zebra in the clutch of a lion's jaw. And we watch it like murder porn over and over again. So that's why children are burning to the ground. They don't know what else to do. And it is the responsibility of us to make this better right now. We don't want to see one officer charged. We want to see 4 officers prosecuted and sentenced. We don't want to see targets burning. We want to see the system that sets up for systemic racism burnt to the ground. And as I sit here in Georgia, home of Stevens, Georgia, former vice president of the Confederacy, white man said that law, fundamental law, stated that whites were naturally the superior race, and the Confederacy was built on a cornerstone. It's called a cornerstone speech. Look it up. The cornerstone speech that blacks would always be subordinate. That officer believed that speech because he killed that man like an animal. In this city, officers have done horrendous things and they have been prosecuted. This city's cut different. In this city, you can find over 50 restaurants owned by black women. I didn't say minority, and I didn't say women of color. So after you burn down your own home, what do you have left but char and ash?
And that's just part of it. That was 4 minutes. He talked for 8 minutes. But that's...
Yeah, it's powerful.
It's the best speech you're going to hear. It's one of those things, too, that I can't help, and I keep repeating myself here, but I can't help but say, like, why can't politicians be that real? Like... You know, like he said, you know, it was eloquent, it was smart, yeah, it was passionate, but he was also like, look, I'm kind of at a loss for words. Like, even not to, you know, it's a bit contradictory. Like, he's like, I don't know. Like, it just, I understand it, and things need to change, and things are fundamentally wrong. I think, you know, if you don't agree with that, I'm sorry, just you're sticking your head in the sand, or you're just an ignorant a-hole. But in terms of, you know, what to do immediately. Like, he's also like, I don't know, I'm just mad, I'm frustrated. And I think, like, you know, most people are, at least most, you know, most caring people, I guess. But I would implore you to search out the whole 8 minutes. He's great. You ever see him on anytime he's on?
He's great. News, he's great with when he's on Bill Maher.
That's the show.
Yeah. No, he's always great when he's on there. And I would say, look, you know, he also, I know he was a Bernie Sanders backer. He also will hold, you know, for people who want to politicize everything, he really will hold Democratic politicians' feet to the fire on these issues as well. You know, he's not someone who just sort of, you know, gives a pass. So, no, he's really good, and he's really obviously passionate. And just like my overall message would be just for people who are like, well, how can I help? Or, you know, I don't know how to feel. I would just say this, like, just understand this. And I think it's hard as a human being when you don't experience something. It's like, well, I don't experience it, so it doesn't exist. No, that's wrong. Just because you're not experiencing it, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And that would be my overall message to people who maybe haven't been on the end of this, or have never, you know, felt that they've been pulled over because of the way they look or treated differently. Just because it hasn't happened to you, that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, that it doesn't exist.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wanted to, you know what? There is one call here. So let's take a call. Hopefully, and I'm not going to take a million calls on this, because I just, this was about what I wanted to say about it, Chris. I wanted to, you know, obviously let you talk about it too.
Sure.
You know, it is a sports show, and there are things to get to. Because Chris didn't make his normal Felgren Mass appearance yesterday.
I did not.
He had to anchor last night on WCVB Channel 5. You know, the real job comes first. So there are things I know you want to get off your chest. But let's go to David in Cranston quickly. Hi, David.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I'd just like to make a comment. I'm 65, and I've seen an awful lot growing up in Rhode Island. But it really disturbs me. One evening, I was at night school at Roger Williams, and they have a high concentricity in criminal justice. And I was amazed to hear how they're being taught and trained. The police are there to protect and serve the people, but yet when they get a call, they show up to protect each other. And it's intimidating and it's overwhelming. Then you amplify it further from President Bush.
All right, David, on that, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your call and your thoughts. I'm sorry I couldn't give you longer. But, oh, no, I just, like, I can't imagine how frustrating it must be for someone like yourself, Chris, or African-American, or people of color in the country when you see, you know, so, like, that a-hole Dylan Roof. I hate that I even know that name. But, the, you know, the a-hole who went in and shot up the black church.
In Charleston.
Like, he gets peacefully arrested. There was a photo that popped up on Twitter.
They took
the other
him to
day.
Burger King.
Right. He wanted, hey, I'm hungry. Can you take me to eat before you actually process me? Like, and there was a photo that one of my buddies also retweeted the other day of, like, these two, you know, like, methed out juggalo looking freaks that were holding weapons. They were, I forget what but it was something like, you know, there was a standoff. No, oh, they peacefully get taken in. This dude tries to pass, what, a counterfeit 20?
Yes.
And he's eradicated because of that? How can you not be mad? Like, come on. If you look at this and be like, well, it's not justified. How is it not justified anger? Like, are there better ways to go about it? Maybe. I don't know. Like, I think it's okay to say, like, I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. But
well, here's this, because why should a routine arrest for a relatively picayune crime result in a death? Let me just put it to you like that. Why? I mean, it's like, if you got pulled over for speeding and it ended up in you dying, wouldn't you be like, well, that doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like running a red light. Okay. You ran a red light, you know, and they end up arresting you for some reason, but you don't make it to the precinct. You are killed instead by said officer. And I'll just say, like, the majority of interactions I've had with police officers have actually been really positive and good. And I think the majority of police officers are very professional and respectful. But unfortunately, there's you know, always, I don't want to say a few bad apples, because I think it's more than a few, unfortunately. But it just seems like nothing ever happens. It's never. And I'll be really interested to see this. You know, obviously, they've charged this officer. And I'm sure it will go to trial. But I feel like a lot of people in the black community probably feel this way. I'll believe it when I see it in terms of him actually getting convicted. I'm like very,
very positive that he's going to be found not guilty by a jury of his peers.
Well, isn't it already out there from the first coroner's report, right, that it wasn't asphyxiation? There was a report that it's not asphyxiation, so and it had to do with, you know, there was something in his blood, like, oh, and so it begins.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, that's I do not have a high degree of faith in the fact that he will actually be convicted.
Good times, everyone. Boy, what a, you know, again, it's like for a lot of people, not a time to joke. But I think one thing that we can all collectively, no matter race, creed, whatever, we can all collectively laugh at was Madonna trotting out her son doing his interpretive dance for George Floyd. Like that? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Chris.
How old's her son now?
He's like in his 20s.
Oh, jeez.
Like, it's the most embarrassing thing. Like, oh, you know, this will solve everything, Madonna.
Is this the son she has with the trainer? Or who's the son she had with Guy Ritchie?
No, it's definitely an adopted son.
Okay.
She gets worse by the day too. I guess the world gets worse. So does Madonna. Like Madonna, just like go away. Like it's not your time. You had that 30 years ago, maybe 25.
Well, she saw The Last Dance and the Rodman thing. She's like, I'm back, baby.
Right. Jeez. But at least we all, I think I had a good chuckle at that. Huh? It's the little things, I suppose. Now someone sent me Mike from Uber and sent me a Bane mask, Chris. I have it in my car.
Oh, yes.
I drove in with the Bane mask on yesterday and did a Periscope like a crazy person.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Someone popped up and said, you've lost it, huh? It's like, oh, yeah, no, months ago. Now it's just, I, too, as the world devolves, so does the brain of one
Jim
Murray.
So does the soul of one Jim Murray.
Right. All right. Okay.
Sportsy, sports, sports.
Yeah, sure. No, we should do that. We're contractually obligated to actually talk sports. Back after this, Gasper Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This order will also allow professional sports teams to begin practicing at their facilities in compliance with the health and safety rules that all the leagues are developing. Facilities are still closed to the public at this time. I know we still aren't to the point where we'll have our pro sports teams back playing anything yet. The leagues are obviously working hard to host games again, and I think we all hope that at some point, opening practice facilities will help make that happen a little sooner.
There's the governor yesterday, right around 2 o'clock, saying, welcome back, sports teams. I guess. Not yet, though. Technically, so I'm a little confused by this.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, and I can clear that. I think people were confused as well. The executive order will be signed Monday, and technically that means that they can open facilities. I know the Revolution, they've already been open because they can do some stuff outdoors, and they got clearance for that on Tuesday, but they're going to move to the next phase of group training on Monday, and the Celtics will open the Auerbach Center on Monday.
Okay, yeah. So thank you. Because you're welcome. So when this was reported yesterday, as he's announcing it, so it was initially put out there is the teams will be allowed to begin practice June 6th, but then the Celtics are within the hour like, we're back on Monday, the 1st.
Yeah, I know. So it's a little confusing.
Is this defiant? Like,
no.
In a way, I was like, yeah, go C's.
No. And the Celtics, I think, really thought that last week they were going to be able to open up. So they've been waiting for a while to do this.
So this, along with all the other stuff from this week where the NHL announced their plan to return, the NBA is next in line for a comeback.
Is it the NHL's plan to return or to just screw the Bruins? I thought it was the plan just to screw the Bruins from what I've heard.
Someone said it yesterday. It was so perfect. The caller said, when did Patriots fans become Bruins fans? Like, just bitch. Just be happy it's back. Is it completely fair? No. It's not fair for any... I'm just happy that they're moving towards something and getting back. Can't you? It's just, but as I said to open the show, anger. There are vast fields of anger here in America.
When you say that, all I can picture when you're saying that is, you know, in The Matrix, when Lawrence Fishburne explains to Keanu Reeves, there's vast fields where human beings aren't born, they're grown. I just am picturing these fields of anger.
Yeah, oh, you know, that's what we're best known for here in America. Let's shuck some anger and, oh, yes, like open it up like it's a corn husk. And like, oh, yes, now I'm just mad about the Bruins who are getting screwed because they might not have the one seed. It comes down to this. Like, okay, is it perfectly fair? No. But if you believe in the team as much as you apparently believed in the team before the shutdown, and they, you know, had over 100 points, right, or had 100 points,
yeah,
they looked like a complete steamroller, and they were going to be the Stanley Cup champion. If you believe in it as much as you did, why all that worried? Because if they end up going 1-2, 0-3 in that little play-in round robin thing, well, then they stink and they don't deserve it anyway, you know?
But they could still. But the thing that's funny to me is that, one, there's not going to be any home ice advantage here. So why does the seeding really matter?
Last change.
I mean, it seems like they're just going to have the two hubs. The other part of it is there another professional sports playoff in North America where seeding means less than the Stanley Cup playoffs?
No, they are number one where it doesn't matter. And what's the last example was the LA Kings in 2012, who were an 8 seed and won the cup, right?
Yeah, or even last year, right? When the Lightning tied the NHL record for points in a season and got bounced in the first round by the Blue Jackets.
So based on what you've heard, and I want to get to some sound from Enes Kanter, who was doing the Enes Kanter podcast, NBC Sports Boston, with our friend Chris Forsberg. You have any concerns about these guys coming back and being in shape in either of these leagues or really any of the leagues?
Yeah, I think they're going to give them the time to do so. You know, I spoke with Corey Schneider, who's from Marblehead, and he's a goalie for the New Jersey Devils. Yeah. He's also part of that NHLPA executive committee, and he was saying he thinks guys are going to need about 6 weeks total, to get back in shape. And I think the NBA could be something similar. You know, I talked to Kanter a little while ago for something at WCVB, and he was basically saying, look, there's going to be some guys that come back who are, out of shape. It's going to take some time. So I'm concerned about guys getting hurt, but I think these leagues are building in. Like you heard yesterday, the NBA wants to start July 31st. They want to play some games. So we have some time here, I think, for these guys to ramp up and get it going.
All right, we'll get to that. I wanted to, some sound from Enes Kanter that I think you shouldn't be surprised after you hear this that some of these guys are going to come back looking like Sean Kemp after.
Yeah, that's the fear. That's Sean Kemp thing. Yes.
After the strike, rather, from about 20 years ago. So we'll get to that coming up next here. Long commercial free segment. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
I was actually talking to one of my friends, and he said that I'm not going to tell who or which team.
All right.
But he said there's so many guys in our team that they're not going to play. Yep. They're actually in an Eastern Conference. They're in a playoff spot. Eastern Conference. Nope. They're like superstars. If I tell you who it is, you'll be like, you go crazy. So I just can't tell you who that is. But they said, hey, you're not going to play.
Yes, from Murray 98.5, the Sports Hub. So there's some interesting sound from Enes Kanter, center in the Celtics, on the Enes Kanter podcast with Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston. So he said people would go crazy if he named names. And because he's talking about players that wouldn't want to come back, as the NBA has already set a date. They're looking at July 31st to return. They still have to figure out the permutations of how the playoff format's going to look. But said a former teammate told him there's at least one all-star on an East playoff team who suggested he won't play if the NBA restarts. I think the obvious one when everyone goes to is it's Kyrie. Kyrie's a pain in the ass and a bit of a bitch. It's probably Kyrie Irving. But I don't think there's any... I don't think he's a big fan of him. I don't think that they really keep in touch just based on how that whole thing worked out. Who else? He's been on Toronto. He's been on the Knicks.
I wonder if it's Kyle Lowry?
Oh, might be Kyle Lowry. Either way, as the NBA and these leagues are getting back, or at least slowly starting to dip their toe, the proverbial toe, into the pool of return, are you surprised to hear that? Even as things not died down, but the numbers seem to be decreasing, I think we have a little bit of a better handle on this societally in terms of the pandemic. Are you surprised to hear that guys, especially that are young and professional athletes that theoretically are in really good shape, are still reluctant to return to their respective sports?
I mean, not really, because some of the professional athletes who have gotten it, like Von Miller, have talked about their lung capacity still hasn't totally recovered. And I think, there's a fear factor there, obviously. If I think there's one thing that's come out of the pandemic, it's that it is a great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you are an NBA player, if you are an actor, if you are a singer, if you are a school teacher, we are all affected. We are all scared, right? And so I think that's part of it. And you have to remember that these professional athletes, they're human beings too. So I could see somebody being scared and saying, well, I don't want to come back.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to know who the hell it is, though.
For a second, honestly, my first thought was Joel Embiid.
Oh. Oh, yeah,
I don't know what the Kanter connection would be there,
But I was like, Joel Embiid would be someone who I would feel like would be, because he's kind of like an iconoclast, and I feel like he'd be like, no, I'm not doing this. It's not safe. You can't convince me it's safe.
What do you make of some of the things that are being bandied about from the league, the Board of Governors? Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer reported yesterday, sources tell him, 22-team regular season format, 8 games each that they would play. There'd be a play-in tournament. Really, to water it down, it seems like they're going to really try to do their best to get the Portlands and New Orleans Pelicans into this thing, or try to get them into this at least in the early rounds, because it just helps in regard to star power. With the Pelicans, you have Zion Williamson.
Yes.
You have Damian Lillard, who's been outspoken and said that if Portland doesn't have a chance, like, he's not going to come back if we need to play any kind of games. Is this, what do you make of the formats that they've been talking about?
I like this format better than, say, the World Cup one. And I just didn't like that. You don't know what the draw could be, and I just think it's too much change. And you're already looking at a point where you played 66, 67 games in a season. I don't want to sort of invalidate that. I think this is good news if you're a Celtics fan, because basically what it means is that Memphis is on the spot. You know, if they just ended the season and came back and had the playoffs, which was what I thought they should do, with some warm-up games that didn't really count, you know, just basically exhibition games, but they're going to play games that count. I think that was a situation where with the Celtics and that Memphis pick, you know, they weren't going to be in the lottery at all. Well, now Memphis could get knocked out. And I think that makes sense. I don't love the idea of a play-in game for the 8th spot in the East. I mean, have you seen what the record is for the Washington Wizards?
I was going to say, who's a benefit? The Wizards?
Wizards. I mean, the Wizards are 24-40. They are 16 games. So a team that at the time play was suspended with 16 games under 500 gets to come back and participate in some sort of play-in for a playoff spot.
That's absurd.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should just do the teams in the West for the play-in, but it seems like they're going to do both conferences. This plan seems like it's basically the best compromise. The NBA clearly wants to experiment with some new stuff, so they're going to be able to do this play-in thing, but at the same time, most of the teams that were in playoff spots when they had to cease play are going to have playoff spots.
Yeah, I looking at the World Cup format, the 1-16, right? The one that's the one you don't like. It's some of the permutations of that and how that's looked. It would be the LA Lakers against the Brooklyn Nets. And while some people are trying to argue like, oh, well, no, they're just trying to set so that it ensures you're going to have star power in LeBron or even the Clippers in the finals. Well, I don't know, like, not so fast. If the Lakers have to play the Nets, are you telling me that Durant and Kyrie are back? Because now that's not a gimme series for
them.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know how really beneficial that is. But I'm with you in that they should try to do their best to try to get those Western bubble teams in over the East teams. I mean, the winning percentage of the Wizards is 375. They have no business being there. That'd be
yeah,
so
I don't. And that's the part that bugs me is I just look at it and say that team stinks. They shouldn't benefit from this. They should not benefit from a global pandemic and have a chance that they normally really wouldn't have. I mean, they were 5.5 games back, so I guess mathematically they weren't eliminated. But if you're going to play 8 games, you know, to me that gives them a little bit of a chance. I look at this format and I think the NBA is basically saying, look, we've wanted to try some of this stuff. Now is an opportunity to try it, so let's do this play-in thing. The one thing I haven't heard, though, is how is the play-in going to work?
That I haven't read.
Is it going to be like single game elimination? Are they going to group the teams in some sort of World Cup like group of death thing, and it will be round robin, and you'll play that way? How are you going to ultimately determine who is the 8th seed in each conference? Because in the East, it's just Washington. So my point is, are you going to have two different formats for the different conferences? If it's just Washington and Brooklyn in the East, then there is no round robin. It's just those two teams. But in the West, you have a bunch of teams that they're bringing back. I believe it would be obviously Memphis, but I believe it's also Portland, New Orleans.
And Sacramento.
Sacramento.
And San Antonio.
Yeah. So you can't have the same format for each conference.
Yeah. Brian Rob, Boston Sports Journal. What are you hearing? You know, you cover the NBA, you cover the Celtics. What's the scuttlebutt from your brethren?
Yeah, like as just Chris pointed out, you really can't do it the same way. I would assume for the West, I would think that you'd want to have some kind of baked-in advantage for the 8th seed. So maybe you have, you know, 9 versus 10 end when they play those regular season games, and then the winner of that game plays whoever finishes in the 8th seed. So something like that where you open the door for everyone to compete till the end and then have some kind of worked in advantage for the eighth seed. But I'm with you guys. For the East, it makes no sense. Unless the Wizards put together a great stretch at the in these eight games they're back and like play themselves back into having a chance, if it was a full regular season, like cut the deficit to 3 or 2 in the standings, just don't have a play-in game in the East because it just makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't think it makes any sense. I mean, I don't understand why they're bringing the Wizards back. It's, particularly when you look at it, one of the things I applaud the NBA plan for is they're not bringing all the teams back. And we know it's going to be in Disney World. We have like a prospective date now, so that's good. They just have to settle in the format. But when you're trying to deal with all these logistical things and health and safety things, the fewer people you can have show up there, the better. And as teams get eliminated, they'll go home. Good. That means there's less chance of an outbreak. So why are we bringing the Wizards and their people, their 50 people in there? It makes no sense.
The team stinks. They have no business.
I mean, I love Bradley Beal. And that's the other part of this, too. You know, selfishly, from a, just an NBA standpoint, I think it will be great if they don't make the playoffs. And maybe Bradley Beal's like, this team stinks. Get me out of here. I know he just signed the extension, but I'm just saying, like, you know, he said to Jackie McMullen that he looks at the trade rumors as a compliment and all that other stuff. So if that team doesn't make the playoffs, maybe Bradley Beal's available.
So I think it is a debate between 20 or 22 teams right now. So if they go to 20, then the Wizards will be out there. If they go to the 22, then the Wizards and the Suns get the invite in the West. So the West gets even bigger, but then you have...
The Suns would be in it?
The Suns would also be in it. They'd be the 22nd best team in the league.
I mean, again, another guy I love in Devin Booker. I mean, I want to watch Devin Booker and Bradley Beal play, but when you weigh the risk of having these teams that normally would not make the playoffs and you're going to bring them to this basketball bubble in Orlando and you're hoping there's not like an outbreak, I don't understand how you can possibly justify bringing those teams back from a health and safety standpoint. It makes no sense.
More from Enes Kanter. Who's going to be fat? We'll get to that next after the Sports Hub headlines here on Gasper and Murray.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.